Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do?
Empire.
You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masses.
Degenerate into something fool. We just got tired of doing what you told us to do.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast, back for the new year for my hiatus. Welcome to 2022. I am your humble, gracious, and sexy host, Daniel Douglas Hummer. I'm here with my esteemed co-host and one of the best wrestling minds on the planet, Eric.
What's up?
And we're here with our sound guy, Doug.
Yo. All right, everybody good after the hiatus, after the break?
Yeah.
Everybody refreshed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to Disney.
Yeah. I had a lobotomy or two.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
Plug shit.
Do we even know how to do we even remember how to do this?
Yeah, plug shit.
Oh. Listen to Two Guys at Dirt Show on Wednesday and Friday. Or listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every
Wednesday
night, Mixer.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes, and then Friday nights, Saturday nights, Mixer.com/Hollywood Hangout, around 10:15, 10:20-ish Eastern Time on Wednesdays, and around 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Fridays, or Saturdays, or whatever goddamn day they do it. Listen to us, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, every Friday night for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Of course, tonight is New Year's Revolution 2007. Then next week will be Royal Rumble 1992. Then 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to be rebooking 5 Royal Rumble matches. The three of us and Clintus, provided, you know, he's back to 100% health, will be... sex change operations can be very tricky. But each one of us will be picking a rumble, and then we'll be getting a rumble from a fan vote.
Yep.
And, so I know I'm picking to rebook the 94 Royal Rumble. Which one are you picking again?
2000.
All right, Eric, which one are you picking?
2001.
You're going to rebook the Rumble that Austin won?
You asked his pick. He gave you his pick. Let's move on. No, we're doing 2001. That's what he's doing.
Okay.
What else?
All right. And then make sure you listen to us tomorrow night let's say, 6 p.m. Eastern time?
Yes.
Ish. For Unscripted Unlimited, and we're going to be talking Justice League War.
Yes.
The animated movie. And then...
we will also be finishing up our UFC Top 10 Favorite Fighters of All Time list, so...
That ought to be fun. And then Sunday, 3 p.m. or... What time do you guys do Scaredy Cats on Sunday?
3 p.m.
3 p.m. Eastern Time for the Scaredy Cats and the... Topic this week is...
The first season of I Know What You Did Last Summer, the first and last, it already got canceled. They rebooted the popular movie, and they're going based on the book. So we will be talking about that this week.
Very good. And then make sure you listen... Huh?
I said, never mind. I'm not going to repeat what I said.
You said, holy shit.
Oh.
Be excited for that one?
Yeah. I love that movie.
It's a classic, yeah.
And then this week, Eric and Clinith, if he feels better, will be doing the NFL hard hits, reviewing Super Wild Card Weekend, previewing Divisional Weekend, and that's pretty much it.
Yep.
All right, guys, let's get into it. New Year's Revolution 2007. This is a pretty big pay-per-view. It did 220,000 pay-per-view buys. We had a gate of 10,000. And this was in Kansas City, Missouri at the Kemper Memorial Arena. Raw pay-per-view. Obviously, the big attractions of the night are Rated RKO and DX for the titles, and John Cena and Umaga for the WWE title. Going into this, what was your expectations, Eric?
I thought it was going to be a decent two-match show, basically, and the rest were just there. Headlined by those two shows. I mean, those two matches.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you got the IC title, too, so that, too, maybe a three-match card.
And that's what this thing starts with. We have a dark match with Eugene and a young Vladimir Kozlov. None of us saw that. But let's go to Jeff Hardy and Johnny Nitro with Melina in the corner. Doug, this is for the Intercontinental Championship. You've seen this match a couple times. You watched it again yesterday. What's your thoughts?
I thought the two of them actually had really good chemistry with one another. Johnny Nitro, back when he was Johnny Nitro, before he was, you know, cool John Morrison, you know, he had Melina with him and whoop-de-doo. Melina, you know, was, you know, eye candy, you know, if you like warheads. I mean, Jeff Hardy, you know, he's coming up, you know, he came back the summer before, you know, after being gone for a few years. You know, this is a different run, and you really felt like it was going to be a different Jeff Hardy.
Well, yeah, this was kind of his biggest run.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, within the next few years, what he's able to do.
Yeah. I mean, because, like, and he was so over. I mean, he would be over more, I think, in 2008.
Yeah.
And then that's when he started fucking up again.
Yeah.
But, like, he was getting over. You know, he kind of, I kind of compare him to Kerry Von Erich back in the day. You know, the rock star, you know, he kind of had that rock star image. You know, the girls loved him.
In and out of the ring. In and out of the ring.
Exactly. You know, the girls loved him. Kids looked up to him.
He's got an alternative rock band.
Yeah. And he just, you know. He had other, I think, he, you know, like Kerry, because Kerry also had other passions, you know, riding horses, riding his motorcycle, you know, the shot put stuff that he, or the discus stuff that he did. You know, Jeff is the same way.
Yeah.
And, but this match, it was a good cage match. I love the spot at the end where Nitro does the splits on the door.
Yeah.
Because and when, like, Melina's trying to block Jeff coming out, and Kyoto's just like, all right, bitch, get the fuck out of the way.
Yeah.
I would have thrown her right into the fucking barricade.
You weren't a fan of her?
No, I was not a fan of Melina. Even though she could beat me in a split contest.
She was hot, though. I mean, I'm sort of a fan of Melina because I think the character was good, and she was a good mean girl heel. And I think a lot of the stuff she did, and she got better and better in the ring. So I don't have a distaste for Melina. I mean, her attitude behind the scenes, and, you know, you hear that she's kind of a bad person, but, you know, you don't know. None of us really know. So... But from an outside perspective, it seemed like Johnny Morrison did a good job by getting away from her and getting with that other girl. But
Miz?
Yeah. But Johnny Nitro had all the talent in the world, even here. He was still a bit green, but he was athletically inclined. And both of these guys, this was a recipe for a good match. It wasn't a classic, but it was a good cage match. Eric?
It was a good solid opener. They went about, 10 minutes, 10, 12 minutes?
Close to 15.
Yeah, I thought it was solid. The right guy won. Jeff Hardy retained his title. And I forget, did the feud continue, or was this it?
The feud kind of continued with the Hardys and Eminem.
Yeah, because they even said in the segment after, call up
Mercury.
Mercury. We got business with the Hardys. And then the whole
I liked this feud back in the day when in 2007. It was a nice feud between the two teams.
Okay. So what would you give it, Eric?
I'd give it a solid 6.
Doug?
I would give it a 7.
I'd go 7, too. I thought the ending was very smart and well done. I think Morrison was way too committed to the bit and getting it on camera because he stayed up there for far too long.
Yeah.
I would have let it touch my balls once, and then I'm out of there. He was just hanging out. Literally.
Yeah.
But it was a good match. Molina was a bit annoying, screaming throughout the whole thing, but I enjoyed what I saw, so I give it a 7. Next up, we got a tag team turmoil match. This is apparently a bonus match, and the winner will have a future tag team title shot. We started off with the Highlanders. They jobbed to World's Greatest Tag Team, who then beat Jim Duggan and Super Crazy, which is a weird pairing, by the way.
Yeah.
Which they kept it going for a little bit. And then, from what I remember, they were going to switch off and Super Crazy was going to team with Val because they found out that Val spoke Spanish. Well, because in the beginning of the year, it started off, Duggan was teaming with Super Crazy, and then Super Crazy went off and did a few things with Mickey James. And then started teaming with Val, and then Val got hurt, so then they put him back with Duggan. And to be honest with you, I like both Jim Duggan and Super Crazy. I just don't know if I'm, quote-unquote, crazy about them being a team.
Yeah, it's unique and it's different. And, I mean, I love odd couple tag teams. WWE's filled with them. This probably isn't the greatest.
Duggan's been a part of tons of them.
Yeah.
It was him and Slaughter, him and Nikolai Volkoff.
I see him and Slaughter a little. That's not odd couple.
All right. Well, it's like him and Volkoff, they teamed up.
That's odd couple.
Yeah. And then WCW, he had a couple of different partners. I think him and Dave Sullivan would team together. Him and Renegade, I think, did a couple of things.
Only top talents.
But then he gets back to WWE, and they threw him with Eugene right away.
And it's crazy because Super Crazy is one of those guys that's very underlooked. But if you go back to his matches with Tajiri, right, at ECW?
In ECW. Well, the three ways with him, Tajiri, and Guido.
Yeah. They're just awesome. And he really was a good wrestler and a great luchador that could go in the ring. I did like it. I liked that he got a little fat. I thought it was funny. A little chubby luchador out there beating ass. But they do the job to the World's Greatest Tag Team. Then you have Cade and Murdoch come out. And Cade and Murdoch, first of all, Murdoch's the NWA champion right now. Obviously, he had a lasting legacy, and RIP to Lance Cade. But I really do think they worked as a tag team during this time.
No, they did, and it's funny. In early 2006, they got split up.
Yeah.
And then, but they weren't really doing anything with either guy.
Yeah.
So they decided to put them back together.
they had a little, like, three-week feud with DX. And then they just started kind of doing this stuff. And then, you know, they had the feud with the Hardys where they won the titles. And, you know, they obviously split up in 2008. And then Cade went on and, you know, was Chris Jericho's sidekick. And Murdoch got released. But, like, they did work as a team. Because they were a great team because they were kind of like an old school Southern tag team almost.
Yeah. They were good Southern heels.
Yeah.
So they beat the greatest tag team, heel on heel team, good action though. And then Crime Time comes out.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Shad Gaspard is true hero. But Shad and JTG go out and win the match. What did you think though?
I thought it was a good match. I don't think they didn't do anything with it because Crime Time never got the title shot.
Really?
No, they never did. They ended up jobbing.
Why?
Because Vince lost interest in them. So they ended up jobbing to the world's greatest tag team like 3 weeks later.
Did they get the title shot?
No. Nobody got that because they did the thing where Cena and Michaels won the titles after.
That's right, yeah.
Sometime in 2007, Crime Time got released. They were released for a couple months.
That's fucked up.
And then, because I want to say they were released early summer, but then brought back by SummerSlam, I believe. I might have the timeline mixed up a little bit, but they were released for a little while in 2007.
Okay.
But, no, I mean, it was a good tag team turmoil matches were always fun. I mean, sometimes, like, I remember when they first started the gimmick in 99, and you had, like, the 17 tag team turmoil matches, and, because back when the rosters were loaded.
Yeah. The Raw tag team roster really wasn't loaded at this point.
Not at this point. I mean, but, like, you know, you had some good moments, and, like, I remember the one tag team turmoil match, I think it was a Backlash. Where Hurricane and Rosie finally, you know, became champions.
Yeah.
And JR and King were just like, holy upset. And then even King, who, you know, was still a full-fledged heel, was cheering for him.
Yeah.
So you have those feel-good moments, you know, in this match. But, you know, Shad and JTG, they could work.
Yeah, they were pretty good. He was a good big man in JTG.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
They were over, too.
Yeah, which they were over, but yet, you know, they couldn't, they got released.
Well, I'm sure they were a PR nightmare, but that's Vince's fault. Because, the whole Crime Time, like, it was a bit, you know, it had racial undertones.
Yeah.
It was a bit fucked up. But the two guys, there was nothing wrong with the two guys. Two guys were a great tag team with great chemistry. I don't think they needed to be robbing a bunch of shit and stuff, but that's what they gave them. But Shad and JTG, a great tag team, and I think they deserve the win here.
Yeah.
All right. I give the match 6 stars.
I would give it a 6.
E Nasty?
I'll give it 6. It was
right.
A solid turmoil.
Now we got the man that puts the Dyke and Dykstra, Kenny Dykstra. He goes against Ric Flair, a legend of the game. He's talking mad shit. They've showed video packages how Ric Flair got killed by a rated RKO, but somehow he can wrestle this match. Kenny Dykstra beats him. Kind of seemed like they were doing something with old Kenny here, didn't it, Doug?
Yeah, that lasted about 8 days after, until about 8 days after this.
Really?
Yeah. Flair got the win back the following week.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because Dykstra challenged Jeff Hardy the next night on Raw. Flair low-blowed him and made sure that he lost. And then Flair beat him the following week. And then, like, an hour after Flair got the win, he got wiped out by RKO again.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, you know, Flair was getting to the point where it was Flair's job to get younger guys over.
Yeah.
It was not Flair's job to win a match.
No.
So, like, I can understand, you know, them, using him to get a guy like Kenny Dykstra over, because Kenny Dykstra had some talent. The problem is he was engaged to somebody that John Cena had his eyes on. And
Mickie James.
Yeah. And John.
Who?
Kenny Dykstra at one time was engaged to be married to Mickie James.
Oh, damn.
And then she started fucking the champ.
Yeah, and then her and Cena started seeing each other, and then Dykstra had a problem with it because Cena was fooling around with his fiance, so he had a problem with it. I don't know why. So Cena said, okay, you got a problem with it? Went to Vince, had him fired. Well, according to legend. And then, Cena got tired of, Cena got tired of Mickie James, and, that story didn't have a happy ending.
Why not?
Because he dumped Mickie James, she went nuts, and then she ended up getting fired.
Oh, yeah. This match was what it was. I like that Kenny pulled Rick's move on him. I give it a 5-star.
I give it 4.5. Shouldn't have gone.
I give it a 5. It was a solid story. I mean, they could have gone somewhere with this, but obviously they didn't.
Well, believe it or not, like, Flair really didn't have the pull back then that he does now. Well, I mean, he doesn't really have it anymore. Charlotte's got the pull now.
Yeah.
But, like, back then, like, they weren't trying to kiss his ass. They were just telling, Vince was just telling him, go out there and do what I tell you to do, pal.
Pal. You think he paled Ric Flair?
Well, I'm sure he, well, I don't know how hard he paled him. But, yeah, like, back then, Flair wasn't getting the special treatment.
No.
But, I'm not going to talk too much shit about Flair, even though I could.
Mickie James and Victoria.
Yeah, let's move on.
Victoria had a good little thing going here. She was a good heel. She had her list. It didn't really mean much because she jobbed. But for a 6-minute, 50-minute, I thought it was pretty impressive for that the women were able to do this in 6 minutes, 50 seconds. What did you think, Eric?
I thought it was okay. I mean, I thought Victoria was actually going to win, but I was surprised that Mickie James retained. I thought they were going to go along with that story with Melina.
Well, Melina ended up getting the title shot against Mickie after.
She beat her?
Yeah.
On the second try.
What did you think, Doug?
I thought it was a good match. See, I happen to have a little bit of a crush on
Melina?
Mickie James. So I was obviously a huge fan of hers, and I thought that this was a decent match. I mean, Victoria was a good heel. I thought the match was pretty good for it only being 6 minutes and 50 seconds.
Yeah, for what it was okay.
I give it a 5.
Eric, you sexist pig.
I'll give it a 4.
You really sexist pig. I'm giving it a 6.
Look at you, you're
woke. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. Now the big money contest we've been waiting for, almost 25 minutes of brilliance. Rated RKO against DX.
I thought you were skipping over to Carlino and Chris Masters.
Oh, fuck you. This was a classic. This was a great tag match. They beat the shit out of each other. Everybody looked brutalized. Shawn Michaels looked half dead. It was a no contest, but
Marty Elias looked stupid.
Yeah. Great match.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Yep.
I thought it was a really good tag team match that told a great story, and the fact that, like, we know how long Edge can go.
Yeah.
And Sean's proven that before, too. I never really thought of Randy Orton as like a 25-minute wrestler.
Really?
No. And Triple H, like, he can go an hour, like, if he has to, or a half hour or whatever.
Yeah, with the right guy.
I thought these guys had really good chemistry, and I really enjoyed this tag match. And, you know, Orton doing, you know, getting color, and Shawn Michaels getting color, and, you know, Edge getting color, and, you know, Triple H blowing out his knee, but still going for, like, another, what, 5, 6, 7 minutes?
Yeah, and he pulled off the pedigree on the table.
Yeah, pulled off the pedigree on the table when he couldn't do it in the ring. But, I mean, that just shows that, like, he is a team player.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you get rewarded for a team player. Other times you get all your friends fired. But, like, you know, that's how Vince McMahon rewards you. But this match, it was so good. And the handicap match that happened the week after on Raw with Shawn Michaels versus RKO, that was just as brutal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I loved it. But it was... just the chemistry, and that I think that's what's missing, you know, nowadays sometimes is the chemistry that guys have.
Well, I agree.
You can tell that these four guys actually did like each other, you know, to a point.
Yeah, and I just love the story of the vicious, brutal young guard going after against the old guard.
Yeah,
you know, and Triple H and Shawn Michaels showed that, yes, they're a fun DX now, and they're good guys, and they'll show T-shirts, but they will... The sugary side, but they're not afraid to get brutal either.
Yeah. And this also kind of proves a point that I've said before. You know, Triple H in long matches, when he goes against people that you can tell he's not... they're not either his guy or he's not friends with them.
Yeah.
The long matches suck.
Unless it's Chris Benoit.
I think him and Benoit had a respect for one another.
Yeah, but...
I don't think he respected Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins.
I think he was just getting old.
Yeah. But here, you know, close to 24 minutes with, you know, Edge and Orton, this was really good. It didn't suck at all. I'm giving it... I would actually just give the whole thing a 10.
I go 9. I thought it was damn good. I thought it was brutal. And the brutality was awesome. They beat the shit out of each other. They were going for blood. I give it a 9. Eric?
I give it 9.5. I really enjoyed this match. It's my favorite match in the card. All four guys, as we know, are legends. And all of them sold their injuries and whatnot, and it was just a great story in the ring and outside. I loved it. 9.5.
Absolutely. Now let's go to an equally classic match. Carlito and Chris Masters. Torrey Wilson on the side with Carlito. These guys really stole the show at the New Year's Revolution a year before.
Yeah, in the Elimination Chamber. Like when they were trying to get those guys over as like the next, you know, major heels. The issue was back then is Chris Masters liked gas. And I'm not talking about the gas you put in the car or the gas you get from beans. All right. Chris Masters, big steroid guy,
Yeah.
And here, like, he was finally clean.
That's why he looks so small.
Yeah. Didn't last because, you know, he ended up fired later on in the year.
Yeah.
But, like, and Carlito, as cool as Carlito was, I really did not like him as a babyface.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. I mean, it was cool that he was fucking around with Trish and Tori and all that, and he's like a ladies' man, but to me, when he was a babyface, he didn't seem to care, really.
Or he was funny, though.
He was funny. Yeah.
He had a sense of humor.
He was the good guy to be baby here, but... it just wasn't a good match. It wasn't. They were better together. They didn't need to feud. They were better together. So Masters got the win. He looked like a dick. It was what it was. I give it a 3 stars.
Yeah. And the next night, by the way, Carlito did get his win back.
Okay. Good for Carr.
And it's because Torrey Wilson hit Chris Masters with the ring bell. She hit him in the ass.
Really?
Yes. I'm not lying. She hit him. Like, it was a straight shot, I think, left cheek. Anyway, I give this a 4.
You do with cheek. All right, Eric.
Very observant when it comes to cheek.
I give it a 3. It was just a filler match. It was when it was. Chris Masters was a dick back then, and he probably still a dick.
No, Chris Masters, behind the scenes, is a decent guy. I mean, the guy saved his mother from a burning building.
Okay. And I think back
when
Fred
Wasper went missing, he let out a search team looking for him.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, no, when I think it was about 5-6 years ago, before he had the run in Impact, his mother was trapped in her apartment. The apartment was on fire, and she was trapped in there because there was actually a tree in front of her window. I don't know how the hell he did it, but he picked up the tree. He picked up the tree. So it was one of them planted trees.
You don't get in the way between a boy and his mama.
Yeah.
He'll find a way.
And he even said, he goes, you know, I might not, you know, I don't consider myself that strong, but that's my mom.
Yeah. I had to make it happen. Good for
Chris.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
I think that's
what I said. Umaga. The main event here, guys, the meat and potatoes, 17 minutes. I thought what they were able to do was pretty good. I'm not totally okay with Umaga losing the undefeated streak. I think it took a little bit of gas out of him, but Cena got the fast one. It was a good match.
Cena got the fast one. It may have taken gas. So you think Umaga should have won here, and then Cena could have gotten it back at the Rumble?
If you're going to do that, yeah. I mean, I thought Umaga was a really good character. And I think this was the more over undefeated. They've tried the undefeated streak so many times with Goldberg. This was one of the more over chances that they got, and it was working. So, yeah, I'd give him the title here. Either job it at Rumble. I mean, you can't do Cena and Umaga at WrestleMania. So I understand going the Michaels route and all that, but Umaga should have won here at least. If you're going to take it off of it, the Rumble, if you have to make Cena look good, but give him the title here.
You know what I would have done?
What would you have done?
Okay. I would have had Umaga win here. Or, no, actually, I would have had Umaga get disqualified.
You would have fucked it?
I would have fucked it. And then Umaga gets the title at the Rumble. Undertaker wins the Rumble. And we get Undertaker and Umaga at WrestleMania, with Undertaker being the one. So it's Umaga's actual undefeated streak and the title versus Undertaker's WrestleMania undefeated streak.
It's a good theory, but you're going to give up the two classics that are Batista and Undertaker and Shawn Michaels and John Cena, which made that WrestleMania?
I'm just saying that is a way they could have gone.
They could have gone, but Undertaker and Batista is my favorite WrestleMania match of all time.
Yeah, so
that's actually
like,
not a bad idea, though.
I'm saying it would have worked if they did it. I'm okay with what they did.
Yeah.
Because that WrestleMania,
they just had a lot of talent at the time. It was stacked.
It was a stacked roster. I mean, that 2007 Royal Rumble is one of the more stacked Rumbles.
Yeah.
Yep. One of my favorites.
Yeah. Which is why you're not picking that one to rebook in 2 weeks.
I was actually going to say, can I change my pick and do that?
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody. Well, we'll see what the fans say, and you know, Clintus. But I don't think anybody would want to rebook 2007 because
it was so good.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun watching them try 2001, but. This match, I would give 8 stars. I thought it was a solid babyface versus.
I would agree with you on the eight stars.
Cena was really on fire too. Eric.
I agree with Doug. I'm Dan. I agree with you, Daniel. I think Umaga should have won, and then maybe even have interference and fuck up finish like that, and then Cena gets a rematch and wins it back at Rumble. But I think Umaga losing at a B pay-per-view, I think he should have lost the streak at Rumble.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say. So I agree with you, Daniel, and I gave it 8.5 stars. I thought the storyline was good, the match was good, and the finish was pretty solid. Cena getting the fast win. Umaga didn't see it coming, so.
It was the way to go. When they went, I liked the feud as a whole with what they did with the chains and shit at Royal Rumble and how brutal that match was.
Yeah.
So I think this was a good prelude to that because he gets the fast one. Well, can he do it again? But then he fucking destroys him with the Rumble. So I like the story. Overall, as a pay-per-view, I would give this 7 stars. I would say it was very solid. It was a 3-match card, but they were 3 very solid matches, and the filler was good enough. It wasn't bad. So, yeah, I'd say this is a 7-star pay-per-view. Good way to bring in the new year.
You want me to go ahead?
Oh, my turn. I gave it a solid 7.5. I thought the pay-per-view was a 3-match card as well. 2 main events, and then the IC title to kick off the show. And all the matches featured solid guys.
Yeah.
And women. I thought the women match could have been better, but it is what it is.
All right, Doug, take us home.
All right. I'm giving it an 8 because I really did it. Because, you know, back in the day, the original brand split when they did the, you know, the singular brand pay-per-views, a lot of those pay-per-views really weren't that good.
Yeah.
I mean, you had, you know, 1 or 2 match cards and then the rest of it was just filler. This was a 3-match card, but you had a really good tag team turmoil match. The women's title was good because you had 2 girls that could work. The Masters and Carlito wasn't awful. Dykstra and Flair, you know, was decent. It would have been better if Flair were 10 years younger and didn't have saggy man boobs.
You have saggy man
boobs. Yeah, but I'm not in there trying to wrestle. But, I mean, it was a decent show.
Absolutely. And this was a great episode. It was fun talking about this.
It's
I love one. You guys.
Good choice, Doug.
Yeah, well, this was because we were going to do it last week because it was the 30-year anniversary, not the 30-year anniversary, the 15-year anniversary was last Friday. Unfortunately, Daniel and I were sick. We couldn't do it. But we wanted to make sure we got that in because I really did want to talk about this.
And we did.
Yeah.
So we will see everybody next week.
1992 Royal Rumble. That is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Hopefully nobody picks to rebook that when we do it in 2 weeks. Well, if anybody picks to rebook that, you're going to have a fucking whole old school community that's going to want us all dead.
Yeah.
They don't already.
All right. All right, guys. Everybody have a good one.
You too.
Yep. Later.
Later.